I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from COP28 host Dubai. It's the largest United Nations climate change conference, bringing together the 198 countries or parties that have ratified the 1992 UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, nearly every country in the world. With me is the UAE's former Minister of Climate Change and Environment, a former Minister of Infrastructure Development, Dr. Abdullah Belhaif Al-Nuaimi. Thank you so much for coming on, former climate minister. So, of course, there's a lot of talk that in the past few days Vladimir Putin has been in the UAE, but hundreds of billions of dollars being pledged to COP28 as it closes tomorrow. But headlines in the NATO countries saying the UAE doesn't deserve to host the summit and all kinds of things we can get into. What's this contrast between what we're hearing across the global south about the hopes that have been engendered here in the UAE and in Dubai, and the insults?
That's really bad to hear, but I believe that people can, particularly in Global South, they can say anything they want. But today we have examples. This is not the first COP. This is COP28. And now they really need to compare it with the previous 27 conferences that has taken place almost everywhere in Europe. What we have today is a success. Success in the sense that the host has, in the day one, pledged that fund that has never been an easy issue. And then he put that $30 billion as a goodwill to make others participate on such a fund. We know
EMBZ.
Exactly. What we have today, a country, a small country, yes, with big hopes, yes. And what we have seen today and during the last 10 days of the COP, that we've been doing great.
Yeah, but Bill Clinton's vice president, Al Gore, when he was in office, he oversaw sanctions on Iraq, of course, which killed 500,000 children. We have John Kerry, climate envoy of a Biden administration that refuses the UAE calls for a ceasefire in Gaza. Both of these people are saying, no, the UAE is not great at all. I mean, as for Al Gore, Al Gore said the UAE is not an honest broker, more or less.
No, I don't know. If anyone could say anything, but you really need to justify what you say. And the justification is the end product, is the result of what we've seen and what we've done. Now, in the United Arab Emirates, we have actually, when we asked for COP, to host COP, were overwhelming. Everybody is willing to all countries, including the capitals that we assume that these gentlemen are coming from. They didn't say no. For us, hosting a conference of this nature is not an easy topic, and we know that it's not an easy job. We know that we have to face such criticism. And we know that.
This is aside from the normal criticism you would expect about not going fast enough, the 1.5 degree centigrade mission. This is a direct insult to this country.
That is how they think. And these individuals, they do not actually represent their countries in any way.
Well, Kerry does. He's the Biden administration.
That is true. But that does not really hamper us in any way, or does not actually give us any insult within ourselves. We know that we have been doing great, particularly in this fight. Maybe in other files they can do anything, criticize in any way, but they would always come up with something to criticize these small countries. And that is not only when it comes to COP meetings, even other files, human rights file, everything, they would come up with something to criticize small countries. And they, I think it's high time to really give a little bit of respect to these small countries who are doing great when it comes to a topic like climate change. What we've done during the last three decades is really unbelievable. Although we know that we are a very small contributor to the emission, well, we contribute less than 0.6%, while the United States does about 17%. And the problem is with them, not with us. But we're participating well. We are actually looking into that issue as a global issue. It's not looking into climate change as an issue that would actually be within the United Arab Emirates or Saudi Arabia or the MENA region. No, it is a global issue, and we have to work together. Now, if anyone that comes and say that this country has no respect to what? We've been doing great. We've been hosting
this. I want to get onto those different measures, but of course, there's no criticism of Micronesia and Palau and countries that obey Washington's rules. They're small countries too. Simultaneously, as regards the media perceptions of things, the BBC in Britain, which of course has been accused of promoting Israeli propaganda during the alleged Gaza genocide, I'm not sure if you saw it, but that was blanket coverage, that they have a whistleblower document showing the UAE was going to use COP28 to discuss oil and gas. I mean, what was your first reaction when you heard timing, why this was, and whether it was true? I mean, it's been denied by the UAE government. What's behind all of that, actually, to derail things?
They have reported a report that came on in New York Times. It's not. They're not singing alone. We know that this is a coming song, and they would. We knew right from day one that things would come. But the question is, why do we have to do that? Now, for anything that has, we have to have a reason to do it. Today we are a small country, but we are doing great when it comes to the human centered.
I mean, do you think it's about BRICS membership? Why are they doing this all of a sudden?
There must be a reason that maybe we don't know, but they definitely look down upon small countries that are seen to be. Now, Malawi and other countries are small and poor. But here is a nation that is impacting the globe. Yes, we are small in numbers. Yes, we are small in areas. But our impact is going beyond what we've seen and what general public know. Our efforts, particularly on the human sense, that we're lighting the globe. Our efforts goes beyond the oceans, and we've been doing great when it comes to financing renewables. When it comes to, this is what their people are talking about. We do not want to get into a political file. And then today
when you were Minister of Climate Change? Do you feel it was as weaponized? I mean, it's as if climate change policy is being weaponized depending on NATO foreign policy. Was it as well, or is it a harder job now?
It has always been. It has, even human rights file are weaponized. Today, the climate change file is weaponized. I don't know how one can handle a file like this. Now, yes, we are a petroleum country. Yes, we are. And this is how we develop our country.
Dubai is tourism, yes. Actually.
But that does not stop us from actually going with the global agreements. We've been in the MENA region. We're standing very well when it comes to
Yeah, but it's not just the UAE that's criticized. Russia, which, of course, is expanding its nuclear non-carbon emitting technologies, China massively expanding solar. It's all of those BRICS countries that are being hit with criticisms, strange stories suddenly appearing in the newspaper.
You would find many. But for us in the United Arab Emirates, we are moving. And if we, for a reason, we stop somewhere, we know that we will melt. We're going fine. Whether they speak or they don't speak, we are improving our economy. We are actually participating in the international arena.
Yeah, but why or how trusted are the United States delegates here in Dubai, given the massive expansion of the Permian Basin of gas in Texas and New Mexico, while on the surface we hear John Kerry and Joe Biden talking about the evils of gas?
You can always... This is how we perceive things from industrial countries, not only the United States, but most of the industrialized countries today are failing to commit what they have promised. Not only promised us, we don't need their promises, but they have promised the whole continent in Africa, and they have promised all the developing countries in Asia, and they've not done nothing. Now, they could always come up with what they think part of the story, but they really need to look into what they should be doing to really lead the new world. If you don't be fair to all your parties, all your partners, you will not last long. And I can see that from all these allegations that...
Well, arguably, they have lasted quite a long... I know it's a young country, the United States, but they have lasted long. And actually, on the sidelines of COP, certainly in the UAE and across the GCC, the topic is more Gaza than global climate emissions.
That's true.
And the U.S. is arming Israel.
That is true. And they do what they think is good for their interest. And we believe that. We know that what interests them may not be of a good interest to us. And we have to accept that what interests us may not like it. But we do what we think is appropriate for our nation. We don't do what is good for them. We're promoting peace. We are a country where we have hosted the Pope. We have hosted in one place that has never been done before. And that shows what we are in the United Arab Emirates. That shows that we are going steady. They could throw rocks anywhere. But for us, we're doing good, we're doing great, and we believe that we are a small nation, but our impact is seen and heard all over the globe.
Although the Pope couldn't make it because of illness, but Vladimir Putin did.
But he did.
Well, anyway, I'll have to stop you there. More from the former UAE Minister of Climate Change and Environment after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the former UAE Minister of Climate Change and Environment, Dr. Abdullah Al-Nuaimi. We were talking about this weaponization of climate change, as it were. You've written about the importance of not just CO2, but methane. Why is methane such an important component of this whole climate crisis debate?
Well, methane is the second potent gas on the atmospheric impact. I've written about not only about carbon dioxide, I didn't write only about methane, but I also wrote about nitrous oxide, a component that we don't know about today. But in a decade time, in 20 years time, we'd realize that this would actually jump to be Putin gas that probably we cannot control. It's not only Putin, but it's also bad for the ozone. And we fought for 10 years, maybe for two decades, to really get off the gases that actually deplete the ozone.
People might remember the CFC and the refrigerators.
Exactly.
The Earth could change that quickly.
Exactly.
If it needed to.
Today, everybody is rallying, behind this industries that we don't know what its impact is going to be.
Okay. Well, back to methane, though. You know, part of the Ukraine war, we've heard it on this program from great journalists like Seymour Hersh, the Nord Stream pipeline explosion in Western Europe was the largest single ever human man-made methane event, equivalent to the daily emissions of all methane in the world from oil and gas. Do you think anyone at COP28 even mentioned that to the Biden administration?
Unfortunate. I'm not sure if they did. But this should have been mentioned, because today we have to work together
to
make sense.
With an if it is indeed the Biden administration, as some evidence suggests, how can one even talk to a Biden administration that is responsible for an eco-terror attack that is against the environment?
I totally agree, but saying it is easier than actually doing it, because today. The association is complex. If there is an issue with a country, you cannot forget the rest of
I just meant things. One mention.
Yeah, that is there. But I believe that we really need to work together. If any one of us, particularly if one, I tell you, if a country dumped an agreement that they have rallied for.
Donald Trump, you mean?
Yeah. Then they expect, you can expect, you know, prior to Paris Agreement, there was an agreement made on Tokyo, and Kyoto Agreement is a legally binding agreement. And two countries, and one of them is the United States during Barack's administration, they rallied to probably dumb this. They didn't ratify.
Barack Obama.
Yes. And then they went to a new agreement. That is their made, this Paris Agreement. It's not Paris who initiated. Yeah. It is they initiated. And the whole globe rallied behind the Paris Agreement. In a fine morning, another administration came and said, no, thank you very much. There is nothing we call global warming.
Funnily enough, an administration that might be coming back into power in a few months' time.
It could be.
Next year's U.S. election.
They might also say, thank you very much. And you're talking about a country that is contributing of more than 17%.
I have the journal Climate Change saying, if you take 1990 to 2014 figures, USA, $1.9 trillion, China, $1.8 trillion. Yeah, China is the one that's blamed, but of course, per capita doesn't even compare with the USA, and the US has had a much longer time emitting these gases.
Chinese, they were not under, they were even prior to Paris Agreement, they were under no, they were given the opportunity to develop their industry, and they have, that was right. You cannot have that departure between developed countries where they have for 200 years dumped all the emissions to the atmosphere. What we see today is not what China is doing today, or Saudi Arabia, or what we are doing. Our age in carbon dioxide is less than 100.
I'm sure that pearl fishing was really bad for the environment.
That's true. I believe it is.
I mean, given that the militaries of this world emit climate changing gases, why is it that this is not part of the COP28 negotiations? There's a U.S. military base between Abu Dhabi and Dubai here. They've been sending in warships to protect Israel, perhaps, while the preparations for COP28 in Dubai were going on, emitting who knows what. The UAE introduced, for the first time, health and environment elements at this COP28. Still no, nothing about the military, given that the United States military, some people say, is equivalent to the sixth country in the world in terms of emissions?
Actually, wars generally and military is responsible for about 6% of the emission. That is 10 times of what we produce in a year. And that is a fact. Now, who organizes? Now, if you go to Expo, you see two zones, the blue and the green. We're organizing both, but the topics are, it is the United Nations issue. It's nothing to do with the presidency here. We do not dictate. We
but
host.
It was good that health for the first time was here.
That's true. This one. That is no doubt about it. But the agenda and the program is actually has been the responsibility of the United Nations. They actually should consider these elements, because these are not only this element, but they should also put in the agendas these future gases that we don't know anything about today. But they might be potent, they must be disastrous in 10 years' time. They know it. It's not that they don't know that nitrous oxide is harmful. They do. That is common sense for everyone. So I think there are some topics that need to be included, apart from the military emissions.
Now, instead of all this stuff about loss and damage to develop, why change all these developing nations from above and order them around not to benefit in the way that industrial countries have over the past 100 years or so? Why don't we start with the U.S. military? It's the majority of the world that knows this. The 6% figure, as you said, is an estimate. No one knows. The UN doesn't seem to even be looking at it. And Antonio Guterres called for no exceptions as regards emissions. So does that mean U.S. military emissions? Or was Guterres has a lot of trouble at the moment on his plate for backing a ceasefire, clearly, in opposition to Washington.
God bless his heart. I think he's doing great so far. But we do not want really to specifically say
that. He said no exceptions.
Yeah, but that is now, is the military operations or is an exceptions or not? If we do that, even
they are accepted at the moment.
That is
by the IPCC.
Exactly, by that, just like you and I, if we think of carbon dioxide, this is how we exhale and inhale carbon dioxide. Is that an exception or not? There are activities, let's say, that are acceptable.
No, that's probably to do with population control.
That's true.
As regards human exhalation.
Yeah, but it need to be accepted because there are reasons for.
Well, there are for us right now. We're in Dubai, host of COP28. There's a U.S. military base not far from this studio. Does the UAE know how much the emissions of this? Because you saw the reports. I think the BBC and NATO outlets were doing, which was air quality at the host of COP28 is really bad because of flaming on gas wells. But does anyone know about this U.S. military base, Al Dhafra Air Base here?
It is absolutely, the United Nations is aware of that. They know the emissions of almost everything. They have their agencies all over the world. And they know what to accept and what not to accept, what to include in the agenda and what not to include. For the United Arab Emirates, we are hosting this event, and we would like to make a success out of it in the sense of administrating the what is being given to us to make a success of. But the agenda, whether this is good to discuss. These discussions are related to the United Nations FCCC, that where they need really to say these are the new elements that we need to consider. I would not be surprised to see in 3, 4, 5 years' time that these are also discussed. We couldn't, we did not at some point assume that methane will be discussed, the gas, the natural gas. The hammering was actually only on gas and on oil, and then they included gas. And now we know that gas and oil have ages, and they will disappear. They will definitely be depleted. They will vanish. The reports today, it says that gas and oil within the next 50 years will not be here. What we do today here in the petroleum countries, that we are improving the environment with the money of the oil and gas, and we're doing good for the world, for the whole globe. Other countries.
So it doesn't matter if, just very briefly and finally, so when Trump leaves the IPCC, Paris Agreement, the rest of the world can make it work without the United States, the world's
biggest? No, I don't. United States is an important player on this issue, and they would probably be convinced to stay even with all their disadvantages. But I'm not sure. I know that we stopped for 4 years. Our movement was very slow in the global sense on the fighting emissions. When Trump say thank you very much, that is not my not on my plate.
Dr. Abdullah Belaif Al-Nuaimi, thank you. And that's it for the show. Our continued condolences, of course, to those surviving the killing in Gaza. Meanwhile, and COP28 runs until tomorrow here in Dubai. We'll be back with a brand new episode on Saturday. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country. And head to our channel, Going Underground TV on normal.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Saturday.